We're holding on Ayn Dalad onward bays, 5 lines from the bottom. We're continuing to talk about Psula Yuchsin, and we mentioned in our Mishnah about which ones are and aren't, and in the previous Mishnah about which ones are and aren't Mutter, Lover, Bekohol. Now we're going to focus on which ones of them that have Psulim in them is, does their Bia make a woman possible in the future to marry a Kohen? We sort of touched on this yesterday in connection with the Giyuris, where we said that if she's Miss Gaia above 3 years old, and therefore there's a possibility that there was Bia with a Goy, even though of course she was a Goyta at the time, it would have been Mutter, but nevertheless it passes her to a Kohen. And we said if once the Chachamim against Reb Shimon, and the Halacha is like that, even if it was below 3 for various reasons. So now, talking about this topic of which men are going to passel a woman with their bia to ever marry a kohen. So turn it up on him. Ben Tesha Shonim V'yem Echad, Ger Amonia Mayavi, when any of the following people are at least 9 years old, where we know below 9 their bia is not considered bia, and so who is Ger Ammonium Mayavi Mitzri Vajami, if he's a Ger from one of those 4 nations where we know that there are restrictions on them intermarrying into the Jewish people, the Ammonium Mayavi forever, the males forever, the Mitzri and Adami until 3 generations, also Kosi, also a Kosi, as we're going to go on to discuss later, the Nosin, or the Nesinim of the last 2 Mishnayos, Cholal Umamzer. Now you notice in all of those are also to marry a Bas Yisrael, except for the Cholal. There's no Isser of a Cholal to marry a Bas Yisrael. Nevertheless, we're still saying that if he does, then he's Mechala. Then we're going to talk about that he's Mechala, her, that he's passeling her to marry a Kohen. So Shabo, Al Kehenes, Val Olivia, Val Bas Yisrael, if any of these men have relations with a Bas Kohen, Bas Levi, or Bas Yisrael, Psalua, then they've passeled her to marry a Kohen, and if she's a Bas Kohen, then they also passel her from eating Truma. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yossi says, the way you phrase it is, Kosha Zara Posel Posel, anybody whose descendants are possible to marry, anybody whose children are possible to marry into the Jewish people is the one who passels a woman from Kahuna and from Truma. But Kosha In Zara Posel, any Posel, if his children are not possel, then he doesn't passel. Now, that sounds like pretty much the same distinction as the Tanakhama said, so we're going to see soon, the Gemara will explain what Rabbi Yossi is saying differently than the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Gamliel says a third way of looking at it. Kol she'ata noisa bitay ata noisa almanosa. Whenever you have somebody who a kohen would be allowed to marry his daughter, then you're also allowed to marry his almana. V'chol she'ata noisa bitay ata noisa almanosa. If you wouldn't have been allowed to marry his daughter, then you're also not allowed to marry his almana. So again, it doesn't sound on the surface as though Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying anything different than what we said until now, but the Gemara is going to point out that each one of them is phrasing it the way he does in order to include or exclude certain cases. So first, my Ika ben Tanakamo ben Reb Yossi, the Tanakamo who gave the actual list, versus Reb Yossi, who said anybody whose children are posel, all of these that we mentioned over here, their children are posel. No, Ger Amoni Umayavi, his sons are going to be also Lover Bekohol. Amitzvi Vadoimi is also his sons and daughters. Kursi is a Kursi, and Nosin, same thing. So what's the difference? Reb Yechan and Mitzvi Sheni Ikebenayu. The Nakamina between them would be, what about a second generation Mitzvi who had relations with this woman? Now, let's consider. The Pasuk says that the third generation of a Mitzri Ger is already allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people. There he's Mutter Lover Bekohol. So now comes the difference. So the Tanakhama listed Mitzri, and Reb Yossi is making this distinction. So according to Reb Yossi, if a Mitzri Sheni has relations with a woman, with a Bas Kohen, for example, he doesn't passel her from eating Truma, because it's true he himself is also to marry her, but if he has a child, then that child is perfect. That if he has a son, that son is perfectly mutter to marry her. And Reb Yossi learns the criteria that way. And Ushneim lo lamdua el mikohen gadol ba'almana. As a matter of fact, both Reb Yossi and the Chachamim are both learning what their criteria are from the case of a kohen gadol who marries and has relations with an almana. Namely, we're not even married. We're going to talk about later in the parak that. We know, of course, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, and the Pasuk says on it, V'lo yichalel. So it says, V'lo yichalel zare ba'amav, And the Gemara is going to explain that it could have said lo yachel, which would have the same meaning. Instead, it says lo yachaleo with two lamids. And from that, we learn that there are two chilulim involved. Number one, that she becomes possible to ever marry a kohen, or if she herself is a bas kohen, to ever eat truma, because of the kohen gadol's bia, because she's an amana. And number two, that her children from him, if they have children, are chalolim. So now both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are trying to make making a binyan out from this to learn to other cases. The Tanakhama saw a key kohen gadol ba'almana. So therefore, the Tanakhama figures that we have to compare. So how are we going to compare the case of this Ammoni, Mayovi, etc. to the kohen gadol with an almana? Well, ma kohen gadol ba'almana should be also ba'aveira. Well, what can we say about the Kohen Gadol with an Almana? It's an Aveira. He's supposed to marry a Psula, or Poisalba, and therefore he passels her. Af Kol should be also by Aveira Poisal. Therefore, the Tanakhama says the rule is anybody who it's an Aveira, including the second generation Mitzri. True that his children will be Mutter, but the fact is that it's not his children, it's him, and therefore the Tanakhama is going to say that's included then in the Binyan Av from the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, anybody on that list passes her. Rabbi Yossi saw a key kohen gadol ba'almana. Rabbi Yossi says, sure, you learn it from the kohen gadol ba'almana, but you have to consider ma kohen gadol ba'almana shazare posel v'posel. What happens with the kohen gadol with the almana? Not only does she become posel, his descendants become posel. They become his children become halalim, and therefore he passes her. Of course, shazare posel posel. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, the rule is going to be only if the children are going to be posel, is the wife going to be posel. La poki mitzri sheni, shein zare posel, as opposed to a mitzri sheni whose children are not posel. The omakra bonim ashevo dolam dosh lishi yavolam the kalashem. So therefore, so the Tanakhama is focusing on the effect on the woman, and Rabbi Yossi is focusing on the effect on the children, and then learning from that what's going to happen as far as the woman's status. Interesting thing worth mentioning over here. In the Ein Yaakov Shir we have here in the evenings, we just started Masechta Yuma, where it talks about Beisoy Zu Ishta, and there's a Sicha in Chelek Yud Zayin, where the Rebbe talks about, so why does it in fact say the word Beisoy in the first place? If Beisoy Zu Ishta, then it should say Chippa Bade or Bad Ishta. And the Rebbe develops the idea over there that there's two different ways of looking at a husband and wife relationship. Is it an end in itself, or is it primarily in order to establish a bias, to establish a household of children and descendants? Rabbi Yossi, in particular, took that second view, which is why the Gemara tells us that he always called Ishti Beisi. He always had uppermost in his mind that the purpose of marriage is for bias. And therefore, the Torah is saying to the Kohen Gadol that he should have that same mentality on Yom Kippur as well. Maybe, therefore, Rabbi Yossi focuses over here on the effect on the bias and uses that to learn to learn what happens with the Isha rather than the Tanakhama, who doesn't take that view. He says that the Isha is kind of an end in itself and therefore can't always be called bias, so therefore he also would focus directly on the effect on the Isha itself. Maybe. Anyway. Okay. So that takes care of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Now, what about, we said, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Shat and Noise Bita and Noise Almanosai. We said Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the rule can be phrased as follows. If you, a Kohen, are allowed to marry his daughter, then you're allowed to also marry the same person's Almana. And if you're not allowed to marry his daughter, then you're not allowed to marry his Almana either. So my ikaben Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So what's the practical difference? Where do we find the practical difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Now when it comes to the mitzvah sheni, sure, you're allowed to marry his daughter because his daughter is already a shlishis, and he said she's mutar lover b'kol. So what is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying any different than Rabbi Yossi? And Oma Ula. So Ula answers ger Amun and Moav ikabenayu. The nafkamina between them would be what about a ger from Amun and Moav? Said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is more makel even than Rabbi Yossi. Where, in other words, Rabbi Yossi is going to say, look, the fact is that the children are apostles, or some of the children at least are apostles, because let's consider, a ger amoni umayavi, when he marries, the boys are still going to be considered gerim from Amon and Moav, and therefore they're going to be also lover of the kohol. After all, that's what the pasuk says, gam der asiri lo yavi lehem b'kal Hashem. The girls are going to be mutter, because, as we're going to say in a few lines, amoni v'lo yamonis. So therefore, so Rav Yossi is going to say, though, true, the girls are going to be mutter, but the boys are usser. And his rule was that Rav Yossi's rule was that kol she zara posel posel. Well, Rav Yossi is going to say the zara, some of the children at least of the Ammonium or the Ger, are going to be usser. Therefore, he also passes a woman to kohuna. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's going to focus on the daughter, is going to say differently. He's going to say that, look, the daughter of an Ammonium or Ovi Ger is allowed love of a kohol, so therefore he doesn't, therefore, even the father doesn't passel a woman with his bia. And again, Shneim Lelam Dura Elam Kohen Gadol Ba'amana. Again, they're both learning it from the Kohen Gadol with the Amana. Did Rabbi Yossi Savak, he Kohen Gadol Ba'amana? So Rabbi Yossi says, let's focus on all the children, any of the children, when a Kohen Gadol marries or has relations with an Almana, all the children are going to be posel, and they're going to be, and therefore he posels the woman. So your Yossi says, as long as he's going to have a Zera posel, it doesn't matter whether conceivably there could be Zera kosher as well. The fact is, there is some Zera posel over there, and therefore no good. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Ki kohen gadol ba'amona." No, yeah. If you're going to compare it to a kohen gadol and amona, then mak kohen gadol ba'amona should call zarei posel. With a kohen gadol and amona, there's no difference between boys and girls. The boys will be halalim, the girls will be halalois, and neither one is going to be able to marry kohen. So af kol should call zarei posel. So therefore, we have to compare only a case where all the children are going to be posel, after the nekevus, even the girls. La puki ger amonia mayav within a kevus, avok sheru slavim akal. So therefore, as opposed to a ger from amonia mayav, where the girls are perfectly able, love of akal. Do amamar amoni vilay amonis mayav vilay mayavis. Because we know that when the Torah says the ger amoni mayav, it means only the boys, not the girls, which is of course famously how Rus was able to marry into the Jewish people, and later on how Nama amonis, one of Shlomo's wives, was able to marry into the Jewish people. So therefore, Shimon Gamliel is going to say, so it's not absolutely like a Kohen Gadol with the Almana, and therefore you can't say it should have the same effect. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omer of Chista, HaKol Moedim Ba'almonas Issa. Everybody would agree when it comes to an Almana of Issa, Shapsula la Kohuna, that she is posel to the Kohuna. Now, what is an Almonas Issa? So Issa, we had the expression earlier in the Masechta, and earlier in the Perek, rather, we had the expression Kola, that all lands are Issa, la Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is Issa relative to Babel. Rashi had brought there two possibilities. One is that an Issa means a dough. It's got all kinds of ingredients mixed in with it. You can't easily separate them out. The same way an Issa is a mixture of Yuchsin, some good, some not so good, and you can't really figure them out. The other possibility, Rashi said, is that Issa means the leftovers of grapes after you pressed wine out of them. Whatever the case, an Almonas Issa is where there's some suffix involved in, there's a suffix cholol involved over here. So Rashi over here explains, it means, in other words, that her husband was a suffix cholol. And you can have various ways that a man is a suffet cholol. You can have, basically, you can have where a woman is a suffet grusha, then her child, if she then goes and marries a kohen, then the child is a suffet cholol. There are other examples as well. Anyway. So now, Rashi explains that her husband himself is a suffet. She herself, even though obviously she was married to him, nevertheless, Rashi learns that we treat it as though it was a sex faker. Because, after all, she's only, so to speak, inheriting that not really inheriting, but she's getting that status from him. So therefore we can't say that it should be considered relative to her as a vaday. Now there are other explanations among Rishonim. Rashi himself in Ksubas brings another possibility. He brings from Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam, one of the early Rishonim from his generation, who says that Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam explains that you can have a case where her husband himself was a suffolk cholol. Namely, for example, you have a suffolk so he describes, let's say, so his mother got divorced in a way where it's a suffolk gerushin. For example, the various cases that we learned about in in Gittin, for example, that you have a suffix whether the gets landed closer to her or closer to him. Then that first husband died. So now, one way or the other, she's mutter to remarry. There's no question about Zeros over here. Now she remarried a Kohen. And so now, besides for the question whether she's a Grusha, you also have the question whether the baby himself is from her first husband or her second one. So you have a sfeika within him himself. Maybe he's not the son of the Kohen, and if he is, then maybe his mother wasn't a Grusha, but rather an Almona. So therefore, you have multiple sfeikas, one on top of the other, and various other Rishonim bring different other possibilities what Almona's Issa would be. In any case, Reb Chista is saying is that such an almana is such an almana. There's another explanation that Rishonim give is that more generally there's a cholol somewhere in this family, and we're not sure. Well, that's basically what Rashi's explanation is over here. So over here Rashi says that it means that he himself is a suffix cholol. Elsewhere, Rashi, there in Tzuvos, Rashi brings his first explanation that it means somewhere in the family there's a cholol, and we're not sure who he is. So we know she was married to someone in this family. We can identify who he was, but whether he's the cholol or whether it's somebody else, we're not sure. In any case, Rav Chista is saying, however you define Almanas Issa, she would for sure be possible to the Kohenim, because we have to consider man meiko bahani tanoi, because after all, among the three tanoim we just said, Reb Shim, the Tanakama, Reb Yossi, and Reb Shimon Gamliel, is Reb Shimon Gamliel. Vika Omar, and yet Reb Shimon Gamliel says, kol sha'ata noise bita ata noise amanose, only what's the criteria for her to not be possible by his bia is if you're allowed to marry his daughter, then you're allowed to marry his amana. V'chol sha'ata noise bita yata noise amanose. Well, lama uti mai, what would Reb Shimon Gamliel be coming to exclude? Lama uti amanas isa shepsula lakuhuna. He would come to be excluding the case of amanas isa to say that she would be possible to marry a kohen. And that would be a pukim in a hadi tanoi. So therefore, by doing that, then it would be Reb Shimon Gamliel wants and Reb Chista, who's telling us that that's how it is, would be coming to exclude what it says, what the following tanoim say in a Mishnah. The Tanan, Heid Reb Yeshua, Reb Yehuda ben Vaseira, Reb Yeshua and Reb Yehuda ben Vaseira said Eidos al Almonas Issa Shekshed Lakohuna, that an Almonas Issa, this kind of case is kosher lakuna, and they say my time I have a suffix, I have a svek sveka, because the svek sveka or svek sveka lakula. So however you define the svek sveka, where again here Rashi is explaining it's not a regular kind of case of svek sveka. We know who her husband was. It's just a question of whether he was a cholol or not, but since she's only getting that status from him, then that's enough to make her a svek sveka. According to the various other explanations within him, with him himself, you have a svek sveka. In any case, the point is, Reb Yeshua and Reb Yehuda ben Vaseira and Reb Yeshua and Reb Yehuda ben Vaseira are saying that such an almana would be kosher to marry a Kohen, and they say, now it is true, they would agree you can't necessarily marry the daughter of such an almana, who then goes and marries a Kohen, because after all, the daughter might be a halala. Mainly, you can talk about the mother maybe had a cheskas kashrus, you can talk about the mother is only a svek sveka, but the daughter, if she's the daughter of a cholol, then she's a halala, that's that. And they would say then that such a woman is possible to marry a Kohen. On the other hand, Shimon Gamliel would say that either such a woman doesn't even fit within his criteria, and therefore she'd be also to marry a Kohen. So again, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Vaseira are saying that it would be mutter, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying that's also. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch actually is not so simple. It actually says that in Shulchan Aruch, an almanas isa is also to marry a Kohen lachatchila, but the inisus loytetze, but unlike Reb Shimon Gamliel, we're saying that if she does, then if they do, we don't require them to get divorced. We do follow Reb Yeshua and Reb Yehuda ben Vaseira to that extent, and say that Loi Tate say we don't require them to get divorced because it is, after all, a svek sveka. Then the Ramah brings over there that Yesh Omrim, that based on our Gemara over here, that only the Almona at least had a cheskas kashrus, but the daughter not. She never had a cheskas kashrus. Therefore, if she marries a Kohen, then then we would say that Tate's A and Yesh McKillen, some say, that even then she wouldn't need to. That's all if there was only a Suffolk cholol mixed into the family. If there was a Vade cholol in the family, then for sure all of them are osir unless you check it out thoroughly. So you have two different definitions of Issa, of Almanas Issa, and one of them was saying there's only Lachatchila, and the other one was saying is even B'dieved, depending whether to begin with we know this family has a Suffolk cholol in it, or whether it's that the family has a Vadei cholol in it, and we just don't know which one of the men in that family is that cholol, is that Vadei cholol. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Vadon b'Vadon Mutter. We said that definite psulim are allowed to marry definite psulim, meaning a mamzer can marry a mamzeres. But on the other hand, we said, Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah, so here, the Tanakhama had said that kol asur in love of a kol mutar in love of zebazer. And we said, after we went through several possibilities of what he means, what we meant is it is basically a continuation of the previous Mishnah, saying that the Mamzerim and Nesuni and Nesinim and Shsuki and Asufi are all allowed to freely intermarry. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer had said that no, only Vadai can marry Vadai, but not Vadai can't marry a Suffolk and the Sfeikas can't marry each other. Meaning that he had said that a Mamzer can't marry a Shsuki or an Asufi, because a Shsuki or an Asufi, after all, or a Pussy, are all Sfeikas, as we're gonna explain. Rabbi Eliezer had said the only couple that would be able to marry out of these groups is a Vadai marrying a Vadai. For example, a Mamzer marrying a Mamzeres or an Asina. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halacha could Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav is saying, and Rabbi Yehuda says in his name, the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, Suffolk would be also to marry a Suffolk. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Ki Amrita Kameh de Shmuel, when I told the statement over of Rav over to Shmuel, we find in many places in Shas, Rabbi Yehuda had originally been a Talmud of Rav, and he learned lots of things from him. Then Rav passed away. Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years, Rabbi Shira Gaon tells us in his Igeres. So during that time, Rabbi Yehuda became Shmuel's Talmud, and he was often telling over Shmuel things that Rav had said. And I sent it over to Shmuel. Omri Hillel Shona Asari Yuchsim Olami Bava Bhulamatorin Love Zebaze. Hillel taught a Braisa similar to the Armishnayas that said that Asari Yuchsin, they have 10 Yuchsin who came from Babel, and that all of them and he also learned that Kulam Matorin Love Zebaze. Now we don't mean obviously Kulam, we don't mean all 10. We know, for example, a Koyan can't marry a Diodus. What it means is among the Psulim we have our Mishnah that said Kulam Matorin Love Zebaze. So we see that everybody that's osir, that's possible, was mutar in love is ever. You're telling me the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer? How could that be? Now Tosfos points out it's a little hard to say that kulan mutar in love is ever means all the psulim, because after all it doesn't say the word psulim. So rather Tosfos says it means kol ha-chabachad within his group, in other words, where again Rabbi Eliezer is saying within the group of psulei kohol, namely mamzerim, mesinim, etc., then you have certain ones that can't marry one another, namely a mamzer with a shsukli or a sufi and so forth. So the question is, the Braisa says, similar to our Mishnah, kulan matorin love zebazeh, implying that within each group they're allowed to freely intermarry. So how can you be saying that it's not so, and that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that even within a group itself they can't marry? Now, why is the Gemara attributing this braisa to Hillel rather than quoting from our Mishnah? So there's a couple of explanations. One of them is the Rosh points out that if you only had our Mishnah, then you could say, look, you have a Stam v'achakach machloikas. You have the Tanakama, the first Mishnah, which was a Stam Mishnah, said that Mamzeri Nesini Shtuki v'asufi Matoran Lovazevazer. But then we have our Mishnah where Rabbi Eliezer argues on that. So then you would say that's an example where you have a Stam Mishnah followed by a machloikas, and then the halacha is not necessarily like the Stam Mishnah. So therefore, we bring from Hillel's Braisa to show that is in fact the halacha. On the other hand, the Tosfos Reed explains that actually when we say Hillel Shona, we don't mean Braisa. We mean actually our Mishnayos. When we say Hillel Shona, we mean that it goes, that this, the text of these Mishnayos goes all the way back to Hillel. And, of course, Rebbe himself is from Beis Hillel. And in other words, the point is that everybody agrees with it. So how can you say, because you have one opinion, Rebbe Eliezer, who disagrees, that therefore you're going to pass him like Rebbe Eliezer? So the Gemara points out, V'rami d'rab ad'rab, V'rami d'shmur. Tosfos also goes on to mention, by the way, the halacha apparently is like Rebbe Eliezer, because Tosfos has the gear sort of a lozer, actually. But anyway, after all, the halacha is like Rav by matters of Issa v'heter against Shmuel, plus other reasons as well. So the halacha would in fact be that a vada cannot marry a suffix. A mamzer, for example, can't marry a shsukin, a shsukis. However, the Gemara points out, V'rami d'rab ad'rab, V'rami d'shmuel ad'shmuel. The way we just said, we seem to have a contradiction between two statements of Rav and between two statements of Shmuel. Rav is saying the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, that a vadai can't marry a suffolk. Shmuel is saying, how is that possible? The fact is, we have a Stam Mishnah and we have Hillel's Braisa, if it's a Braisa, that says that a vadai is allowed to marry a suffolk. So now, on the face of it, though, we have a different machlokas among them where they say the other way around. The Itmar, we have a discussion like this. Arusa she'ibra. What if a woman is an arusa and she became pregnant? And we don't know whether the father is her arus or somebody else. If the father is now keep in mind, as an arusa, of course, everybody is also to her except her own husband. Except her own chosin. So now, Rav Omar Vlad Mamzer Shmuel Omar Vlad Shsuki. So Rav says the child is going to be a mamzer because he says that we have to assume he came from the roiv, and the roiv after all are also to her. We can't even say yet roiv the ilus etzal abal because it's not. She's only in a state of arusa. She's only in a state of erusin, and therefore so it's not that likely that the arus himself had relations with her. Much more likely that it was somebody else. And therefore, Rav is going to say that he's a mamzer vadai. Shmuel Amar, Vlad Shsuki, whereas Shmuel says that the child is only a Shsuki. There is, after all, the possibility that the father is her Arus, and therefore, so the child is going to be a Shsuki. So now, what's the next minute? Either a mamzer or a Shsuki is not allowed to marry a regular yid. So the difference is, Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer Umotir B'Mamzeres. So Rav is going to say that the child is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because according to Rav, he's a Mamzer Vadai. So therefore, like any Mamzer Vadai, he's allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Or Shmuel Amar Vlad Shsuki V'Osir B'Mamzeres. Whereas Shmuel says the child is a Shsuki, he would be also to marry a Mamzeres. So we see that Rav holds, so we see that Shmuel holds that a suffolk is also to marry a vadai, whereas here, in connection with our Mishnah and with Hillel's Braisa, he's saying that he is allowed to, and Rav is saying the other way around. So how do we reconcile what they're saying? So the one answer is Apok. You have to flip around the opinions. Rav Omar Vlad Shsuki or Shmuel Omar Vlad Mamzer. In fact, what it'll be is Rav will say the child is a Shsuki, and therefore that means he's also to marry a Vadei Mamzer. Well, then that's consistent with what he says on our mission. The halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer, who says exactly that. And Shmuel is the one who's going to say that the child is, Shmuel is the one who's going to say that the child is a Mamzer, meaning a Mamzer Vadei. So fine. So in that case, then there's no contradiction. Well, in that case, Tauti Lomali. Then the Gemara asks, in that case, then why do Rav and Shmuel have to present their machloikas in two different cases? Why do they have to, we have the case of a Pnuya who's Mizana, and you have a case of an Arusa who's Mizana. So why do you need Rav and Shmuel to be telling us about both of those cases? And the answer is, tzricha, you need both of them. De'i itma baha, because if you only had it by the shsuki of the Mishnah, where the shsuki in the Mishnah, after all, we said was a pnuya, that was an unmarried woman who turns up pregnant, and we don't know who the father is. Something that we learned yesterday, we said Abishol says that you could ask the mother and you could follow what she says. We're going to bring that point down again over here. So by a pnuya, you could say, you know why Rav is saying the child is only a shsuki? Because b'ha'ka amarav, mishum l'roiv k'sherim etzla. After all, most of the men who she could have been with are kosher. So therefore, so we have a real suffix over here. We can't say for sure that he's a mamzer. At best, we can say that he's a shtuki, which is a suffix. And a suffix is going to be also in a mamzer. He's also going to be also in a bas yisrael because he might, after all, be a mamzer. But yeah. But when it comes to the case of the Arusa, the Roif Stulim Etzla, most of the men that she could have had relations with are possible to her, because she's an Arusa, the only one who's mutter to her, nobody's mutter to her really at this point, but the only one that she could have relations with, among Jews anyway, and the child won't be a mamzer, is going to be her own Arus. Ema Moidi L'Shmuel, maybe Rav would agree with Shmuel that child is a Vade Mamzer, so therefore Rav needs to say that even in this case, no. On the other hand, if you only had it by the Arusa, Bahok Omer Rav, you would say, you know why, in the case of the Arusa, Rav would say, child is a Suki, Mishum De'ikal Mitla Ba'Arus. After all, you could attribute the child to the Arus. You could say, maybe the Arus did have relations with her, even though he wasn't supposed to. But when it comes to a Pnuya, there's no particular reason why it should be one man more than another. You could say, yeah, it could have been a kosher, and most of the people there are kosher. Fine, but there's no particular reason to say that it was any one of the Tchadim. It could equally well have been any other man. In other words, with an Arusa, if you're going to say, if she had relations, then we could figure there's a greater likelihood that it was with her Arus, where there it's only a lesser level Isser, rather than somebody else, where it's an Isser Mrs. Bastin, whereas by Pnuya you have no such consideration. So therefore you would have thought, so maybe we would say, Ema Modi L'Shmuel, maybe again Rav would agree with Shmuel that the child is much more likely to be a mamzer, because there's much more reason to think that the father is a mamzer or some other apostle. Sricha. So therefore Rav needs to tell us in both cases that no, that's not what he says. In both cases he would say, that the child is a suffic mamzer, and as a suffic mamzer, then he's going to be also to marry a vade mamzeres in accordance with Rav's opinion, which in turn is the opinion of Rabbi Yezer in our mission. And of course the Ritva points out that Shmuel also has to argue in both cases for the opposite reason. You could argue that after all, by each one, you have a reason to say. In the case of the Arusa, it's more likely that he's kosher because it's more likely that the father was the Arus. And on the other hand, only by an Arusa, you would say that, on the other hand, Roy Psulametzla. So exactly the same kind of Svaris that the Gemara is saying over here, why Rav has to say in both places, explains why Shmuel has to disagree in both places. Okay. So that's one way of understanding it. So that would be one way of understanding it. The Borisemala Olam Loy Tepuch, another way you could say is you don't have to flip around Rav and Shmuel's opinions. Rav can say that the child, in the case of an Arusa, that the child is mamzer, and Shmuel would say Shsuki, because, my mamzer, to call him a Rav, Lav mutter b'mamzeres, because maybe you could say, when Rav says that it's a mamzer, Rav doesn't mean the word mamzer vadai. He just means that he's also to marry a ba'elah da also b'bas Yisrael. So not that he's mutter in a mamzeres, but that he's also in a bas Yisrael. In other words, when Rav uses the word mamzer, he means it in the sense of somebody who has, relative to a bas Yisrael, has the dinim of a mamzer, namely that he can't marry her. So then we would say that so when Shmuel says the child is a shsuki, that also means he's also in a bas yisrael. Well, wouldn't that mean then that Rav is, that Shmuel is saying the same thing as Rav? So then how can we understand it that way? Then we're coming out that Rav and Shmuel are just saying the same thing. Ela my shsuki. So now you can say, what does Shmuel mean? What does he mean by the word shsuki? Shemashatkin oisem din kahuna. We talked about this yesterday. We silence him from the din of kahuna. Meaning, what if the Orus is a kohen, and she's saying that this is his child? Nevertheless, that child does not have the chazaka of a kohen. As we talked about yesterday, he wouldn't be able to serve in the mismikdash or do any of the other things of kahuna. Because we learned in Yevamos, in order for a person to be able to serve as a Kohen, we have to know for sure who his father is, and here we don't. We have she saying it was my Orus, but we don't know that for sure. So, uh, So therefore, so when Shmuel says Shtuki, he means in terms of Yuchsin, sure, it's exactly the same as Rav, that he's also in a Mamzeres and also in a Bas Yisrael, because he might be a Mamzer, he might be a Kosher. But when he uses the word Shtuki, he means that I'm also mentioning to you another din, if the Oros was a Koyen, means also that he's not allowed, that the child is not allowed to serve as a Koyen. So the Gemara asks Pshita, well then isn't that obvious? If we're telling us we don't even consider him like a regular Yisrael, and we can't allow him to marry a Bas Yisrael, Medin Kohunami boy, would we need to say that he's excluded from the din of Kohanim? Of course not. So what's the chiddush? Of course he is. So what's the chiddush? So rather we can give a different explanation. What does Shmuel mean by the word Shtuki? Shemashatkin oisim nichse oviv means we would silence him from taking anything of his father's nechosim. If the orus dies, in other words, we're not going to allow this child who might be his child or might not to yarshim. So the Gemara asks again, Pshitim yadin avu amanu. After all, isn't that poshut? Again, we don't know who his father is, and the answer is loy tzricha the tofas. The chiddush would be even if he grabbed a hold of the nechosim, and now you would argue that he's the muchzik and amotzi mechaver l'varaya. So Shmuel is saying that no, we don't do that. We give it to the other yoshim. We give it to the other yoshim of the others, other children that he had from previous marriages, if he has any, or if not, then to his father or his brothers or whatever, according to the usual rules of Yerushim. So in other words, you could say with these answers, what we're saying is that Rav and Shmuel are not arguing. Rav is saying that the child of an arusa is a shtuki, so he calls him mamzer in the sense that relative to a Bas Yisrael, he is like a mamzer. He can't marry a Bas Yisrael. Shmuel is also adding, you should know, he's also disqualified from serving as a Koyan or from yarshining his father's property. The boy is saying, my shtuki beduki. Yet another possibility is that when Shmuel uses the word shtuki, he means it in the sense that we said that Abishol used it, means that we have to ask the mother. We ask the mother, she says, I had relations with a kosher, and then we would believe her. So all this time we've been saying that with the arusa, even if she says it was the arus, we wouldn't believe her. Now, according to this last answer, we're saying not necessarily. If we ask her and she says that it was the arus, then we will believe her, and the child will be kosher. So then he'll be able to marry a Bas Yisrael, and he won't be able to marry a Mamzeris. Which in that case, the Kaman Kerem Gamliel. Well, that would come out like Rav Gamliel's opinion that we learned yesterday, which we're going to quote again today, that Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that a woman is believed in such a case. The question is, Ha'omah Shmuel Choda Zimna. Didn't Shmuel already tell us that he holds like Rav Gamliel? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Ksubas, Ha'isa Mu'uberes, if a woman is pregnant, Va'omer Lamat Tiva Shal Uberzeh, and they ask her, what's the story with this baby? And she answers, Me'ish Ploini v'koyin, who it comes from Ploini, who is a koyin. Rav Gamliel v'Rav Eliezer Omim Ne'amenes. So they say she's believed, and therefore the child is kosher. We talked about yesterday, actually. Does that mean that they're saying the child is kosher, or do they say that it means the woman herself is mutter in the future to marry a koyin? We said yesterday that there's machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar about that in the Gemara in Ksuvos. So here, apparently, we're following the way of looking at it, that Rav Gamliel's statement is applying to the child as well. Rav Yeshua Omer Einan Emenes, and Rav Yeshua says, we don't believe her. The actual expression in the Mishnah there is that Rav Yeshua says, Loim Pia Anu Chayin, as we quoted yesterday, but here the Gemara is just paraphrasing it. Anyway, for Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Halacha Kerem Gamliel. And so we know already that Shmuel holds the halacha as like Rav Gamliel. So what's the chiddush of him saying now that if we say that his shtuki in the machlokas we said before of him and Rav means only that we have to ask the mother and then we can go based on what she says? Well, we know already he holds that way. And the answer is tzricha. Still, we need it. Dima hosam. If we only had that case in Ksubas, have amina hosam deroiv ksheira metzla. Again, over there, most of the men that she could have been with are kosher because she's a pnuya. The only ones who would make that the child would be apostle would be a mamzer, a nosin, one of her own relatives. Aval hocha, the roif psulim etzla. Here you're talking about an arusa, where most of the men that she could have been with are apostle. Amaloi, so you would think maybe not, maybe in fact we wouldn't say that, and we wouldn't say that halacha is like Rav Gamliel, that it's good enough to ask her. Tzricha, and therefore Shmuel needs to tell us that also in this case, we do need to, and that if we ask her, and if he says, then yes, then there means. Okay. So fine. So that takes care of this whole matter of the mamzerim and the shesukim. Tosfos had pointed out the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel. First, the Gemara had said epoch, that we do flip around the opinions, and we say that Rav is the one who says the child of the shesuki. The halacha ends up being like that. So therefore, in such a case, in the case of an arusha she'ibra, the halacha comes out that the child is indeed that the child is indeed a shesuki. And in the case of a suffolk marrying a suffolk, then you can't do that because like Rabbi Yezza says. So that's how it works out then. So now we're gonna get into the matter. Of Kustin. Rabbi Eliezer had mentioned in the Mishnah that it's actually in Shulchan Aruch what it actually says is like this. In the case of the Arusa, it says, so if she says that it's from the Arus, so if he agrees, or if he's not here, then Avlad Kosher, because we said we can ask her, we said Abashol Hayakur Sufi Baduki, so then we consider him his child. Even by the way, the Shulchan Aruch adds, even then we would allow him to Yarshin his father. But if he contradicts her, then the Vlad is Mamzer, and if she's not around, then the child is a Suffolk Mamzer. So you have those considerations. As far as a Pnuya, then, again, if we can't ask her or whatever, whatever it is that she says, at best the child is a Suffolk, because you can say she's a Pnuya, just as she was Mizana with one, then she was Mizana with another. So the child will be a kosher, but still we won't allow him to yarshin him, as we said in the Gemara over here. So now let's get into the matter of Kustim. So we know who the Kustim are. They're the nations that were brought by Sancheirev to resettle Eretz Yisrael after the Ten Shvatim were taken into Golos. So now we're going to get into the discussion Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah that they're a Suffolk. So we have to figure out what exactly is the nation, what exactly is the nature of the Suffolk about them. Now, of course, eventually they discover, throughout the second Beis Mikdash, the Chachamim had a machloikas, whether they're Geri Emes or Geri Arayas, and eventually they discovered them worshipping an image of a dove and declared them goyim gmurim. So obviously after that, there's no question whether they're Jews or not. But we're talking about during that time when there was that suffix. But here we're talking about a different level of suffix. We're talking about the kind of suffix that prevents us, that prevents them from being, from, that prevents people from being able to intermarry with them or vice versa. Because in other words, if it's just a matter of a suffix, whether they're goyim or Jews, first of all, if one of them is Megayer, then you don't have a problem. But second of all, even if he's not, it would mean, for example, there's no problem of a kusi marrying a kusis. But now we're going to talk about that it's not like that. There's a suffix within the kusim themselves about their status, and therefore we can't allow marriages between them. Obviously, you have times when the kusim are independent and running their own things, and then it's not like we, our chachamim, are able to tell them what to do in terms of halacha. But pashtus, we're talking about a time when the kusim, when kusim are subject to our control, and therefore we can tell them what they're allowed and not allowed to do. Anyway, Tanya, we learn in a brisa, v'chein hoy Rabbi Eliezer oimer kusi lo yisa kusis. Rabbi Eliezer had also said that a kusi is not even allowed to marry a kusis, even though they're both from the same nation. Because there's a suffix between them. So my timer. So why is that? Amar Rabbi Yosef Asu'uhu. Tosfos actually wonders, what do you mean, my timer? Rabbi Eliezer himself says sfeikan b'sfeikan aser, and he defines a kusi as one of the sfeikas. So what's the question? My timer. The question is, after all, consider what if both of them were mamzerim, it would be perfectly mutter for them to get married. And so in other words, the Gemara is going to discuss over here the point. What's the problem with the Kusim, besides the overall question of whether they're Jews or Goyim? You have within that, even if we say they're Jews, the question of whether any given Kusi is a Mamzer, as we're going to explain as in the continuation of the Gemara. The question is, so what? If one of them is a Ger and the other one is a Mamzer, they're still allowed to marry, according to the B.O.C., which is the Halacha. So what do we care? Well, why would we say that a Kusi can't marry a Kusis? So therefore, we have to figure out why that is. Because the Chachamim are treating a Kusi like a Ger after 10 generations. Because at this point, they've been so long among the Jewish people, they already seem to be Jews. So Detanya, Ger Adasara Duras Mutter Mamzeras, a Ger up to 10 generations is allowed to marry a Mamzeras, meaning, like we said before, the Ger himself, the Ger's son, the Ger's grandson, etc., are all allowed to marry, a Mamzeras. You have, we talked about the other day, and a Machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim about that. Does that apply only if both parents are gerim, or does it apply even if only one parent is a ger? The halacha is that a ger is mutter b'mamzeres only if both parents are gerim. If one parent is a ger and the other one is a ben or bas yisrael, then they are in fact also to marry a mamzeres. But now, even though the Kusim have been marrying among themselves for 10 generations, or even in the case with a regular Ger, where they've been marrying among themselves for 10 generations, then we're still saying Midrabanan Osim Mamzeres, the Yesh Oim, actually Shtaka, Shema, Vodis, Bukhav Mimenu, some say it's not necessarily 10 generations until people have forgotten that this family originally came from Goyim. So it could be, in other words, less than 10 generations. So the point is, in other words, so Rabbi Eliezer is considering, or Rabbi Lazar is considering, that the Kusim, because it's true, we have this ambiguous status of theirs as relative to Jews, but on the other hand, they've been marrying among themselves for generations. By now, if they are considered legitimate Jews, it's been forgotten, so to speak, that they ever came from Goyim. I mean, we know historically they were, but it's not like any particular family you could point to and say. Therefore, he says, Midrabanan, he'll be also at that point to marry a Mamzeres. And since the Kusim, as we're going to go on to say, have Sophic Mamzeres among them, the result would be a Kusi. Would not be allowed to marry a Kusis. Omele Abaye mi dummy, but Abaye says, how can you compare? Hosam Ger Yoshin Mamzeres Hadosha. The reason why that's also over there is because the Gerus is from olden times and the Mamzeres is a new one. Amri Ba Yisrael Hu Dekonosim Mamzeres. So people are going to mistakenly think that a regular Yisrael is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because after all, the Gerus of this family was generations ago. Nobody remembers it. So people are going to see he's marrying a Mamzeres. They're going to think a regular Yid could. Here, both the Kusi and the Kusis are on the same level. Either they're both Kusim, or they're both Yisraelim Gmurim. So why should even Rabbi Eliezer have a problem with them getting married? So rather we have to answer like this. Ki osid of Dimi Omer Rabbi Lazar, when Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he says Rabbi Lazar Savolak Rabbi Shmuel. The reason why Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah holds that, in this Braisa, the Bchein Hoy Rabbi Lazar Omer Kusi LaYisa Kusis, that the Rabbi Lazar who says that a Kusi is not allowed to marry a Kusis is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Savolak Rabbi Akiva, and in turn Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. And once we work out what those various opinions are, then we'll understand why Rabbi Lazar is saying what he's saying. Rabbi Lazar Savalak Rabbi Shmuel Dama Kusim Geri Adayasim. Start with, Rabbi Lazar agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that the Kusim are only Geri Adayas. To begin with, they only became Gerim out of fear of the lions. So they're not really considered. They're not really considered full-fledged Jews. The Ritva points out within that there are two ways of understanding that shitty. You could say that they're not considered gerim at all, or you could say he says they're not considered gerim at all, or you could say they're considered gerim at all. You have the question like this: whenever a ger is nisgayer for some ulterior motive, for example, because he wants to marry a Jewish woman, the halacha is that b'dieved such a gerus is valid. So Rabbi Shmuel might be holding that not, or he might say that the difference is, fine, a regular guy who does that, fine, we can allow and we can say that he's considered b'dieved a valid ger, but not over here where it was only from the fear of the lions, and we know, even from the psukim, that they continued to worship Avodah Zarah. That's the first part of it. So he holds that, so Rabbi Shmuel holds that geri emes, and in turn, geri adayasim. Rabbi Shmuel Sava like Rabbi Akiva. In turn, Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. Dama Ovid Kachovim Ve'Ever Abba Bas Yisrael of Vlad Mamzer. Where, as we learned before, Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chayve Lavin produce a Mamzer, and he would hold that if a Goy or an Eved has relations with a Bas Yisrael, then the children are considered Mamzerim. So therefore, you have the problem over here Now, so every kusi, therefore, so you have every single kusi, you have a suffix mamzerim, because every one of them might be from a Jewish woman who married one of these kusim. Where he's holding that the kusim are only geri arayis, and therefore they're considered goyim. So therefore, every single kusi you would have a suffix whether they're a mamzer or a regular kusi, and you also so the result is a kusi wouldn't be allowed to marry a kusis because one of them might be a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and the other one might be a goy. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos deals with at some length over here many of the ins and outs of that. It comes out then Tosfos says, fine, so if one of them is completely misguided and says I'm not going to be a kusi anymore, or if both of them do, then there shouldn't be a problem. Regardless, if both of them are mamzerim, then if both of them were mamzerim, then they're allowed to marry each other. If both of them are gerim, they're allowed to marry each other. And if one's a ger, one's a mamzerus, they'd also be able to marry one another. So why would he say flat out that a kusi can't marry a kusis, implying that there's no way of fixing it at all? So Tosfos, because of that, doesn't like Rashi's explanation. So Tosfos rather brings a different explanation from the Ri, that the problem is, just as much as we're saying that there may be Jewish women who intermarried among them, and then we have, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, because this Jewish woman had relations with a kusi who was considered, according to Rabbi Shmuel, a goy, therefore the child would be a mamzer, following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Well, you could have the opposite problem as well. You could have a Yisrael who went and married a kusis and intermingled among them. So now among these kusim, one of them is a full-fledged Jew, who intermingled among the goyim and among the kusim, and you don't recognize him as one. And the other kusis is a mamzeres, and then you have a problem. So that would be a different way of explaining why Rabbi Elazar would say that the one can't marry the other. Then the second half of Tosfos gets into the interesting question, where exactly do we ever find Rabbi Akiva saying that a goy or an eved habar bas yisrael havlad mamzer? Sure, he says yesh mamzer machayv elavin, but a goy, there's no particular, where do we find a lav in the bia of a goy and a Jewish woman? And Tosfos discusses that in some detail. Anyway, The point is, therefore, that's a way of explaining. So now Rav Dini explains that's why Rabbi Elazar holds that a kusi is not allowed to marry a kusis by combining together these opinions. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that the kusim are still considered geri arayis, they're considered goyim, and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says that a goy with a bas yisrael produces a manzer. So now the problem is, some of them are mamzerim, some of them are not, and therefore they can't marry one another. But the Gemara asks, "Me sovel Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva? You're telling me Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva in this regard? How do we know that says Rabbi Shmuel that if a goy or an eved had relations with a kahenes or levia or Yisrael, or a bas Yisrael, that they passel her from ever marrying a kohen or from truma? Shenema, because the pasuk says uvas kohen kisi almono or grusha. If a bas kohen becomes an almono or grusha v'zera ema, and she has no children, so then we say she's allowed to go back to eating truma in her father's house. Now, why does it have to mention almono or grusha? It means mi shigeshle almonus v'gerusha. The whole concept that if she was married to somebody and then had children with him, then once the marriage is over and the children are gone, then she's able to eat truma. That would only apply to somebody with whom almonus and gerushin are relevant. Meaning who can actually be married to her. Yotza oivit kachavim ve'eved, as opposed to a goy or an eved. There's no such thing as almonus and gerushin, because kiddushin are not shayach in the first place with a goy or an eved. So Rabbi Shmuel says that based on that pasuk, then based on that limud, is how we learn that if they do have relations with her, they pass over. Well, if you're going to tell me Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva and says that the child of such a relationship would be a mamzer, well, then you don't even need a pasuk to say she'd be posel. Hashka mamzer habi. If the child even is going to be a mamzer, mifsul b'biyachim iboya, would you need to tell us that he posels her with his bia? So obviously then he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Now, Tosva says that it is true, of course, that not always you can have the child can be a mamzer and still not posel b'biyosa. We discussed in the previous parak, we talked about, according to Rav Akiva, we said that not necessarily are those two things tied together. But here we're talking, but here we're talking according to Rav Yishmael, and we're saying that fine, even we're going to say that the child is a mamzer, necessarily that means that he passes her b'biyosa. So in other words, Tosfos ends up saying that it could have just said Kiti Boyle, it could have just said if she has relations, why does it need to say the word Amono or Grusha? And Tosfos gives several explanations. Anyway, the point is that, so evidently Rabbi Shmuel does not agree with Rabbi Akiva. Ella, no. Rather, we can answer like this. Rabbi Lozer, Savalok Rabbi Shmuel, Domakusim, Geira Arayasin, Vris Savalok Rabbi Akiva, Domakusim, Evra Babas, Yisrael of Lad Mamzer. We can say it's not that Rabbi Lozer is depending on Rabbi Shmuel, who in turn is depending on Rabbi Akiva. We can say Rabbi Lozer is following Rabbi Shmuel in one area of halacha, and then he's following Rabbi Akiva in a different area of halacha. So as far as the din, as far as the status of the kusim in general, he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that they're geri arayis. And then separately, as far as the din, what happens when Goyu and Evan has relations with the Bas Yisrael that have Vlad Mamzer, then in that he would hold like Rabbi Akiva. Putting those two things together, the result is that a kusi wouldn't be able to marry a kusis, because again, some of them are mamzerim, some of them are not. Because some of them would be the children of a Jewish woman and a kusi who's considered a goy. Others would be the children of complete kusim. The mother and the father are both kusim. And therefore, the result would be that you'd have an isser for them to intermarry. But the Gemara asks, to me, Savala Rabbi Lozer k'Rav Akiva, does Rabbi Lozer in fact agree with Rabbi Akiva on that regard? V'Amar Rabbi Lozer. Even though Bishama and Bishilal have the famous argument about Tzoris at the beginning of Yevamos, we learned, where you have the case of where a man is married to one of 15 relatives of 16, we said in the Gemara over there eventually, where if he dies, then his surviving brother can't do Yibum with one of them because she's an Erva to him, and therefore he doesn't have to do Chalitza. And the Mishnah had said also that would be the case with Hotzara. Hotzara would also be Potter, and the Shammai disagreed with that. Moidim, She'en Mamzer, Elamisha Isuri, Isur Erva, the Onush Koris, they both agree that a Mamzer is only from somebody where there's an Erva involved and where there's Koris involved, as opposed to where there's only a Lav. So the relevance of that, as far as the Tzara, is suppose that somebody does follow Bez Shammai, suppose somebody does follow Bez Shammai and he does Yibum with a Tzaras Erva, so Bez Hillel would hold that the child is a Mamzer, because this is a matter of Kores, because if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, then there's an Issur of Eshes Och, which is Chayav Kores. On the other hand, they would go on to say, what happens though, what would happen the other way around? Bishilo would say, if somebody following Bishamai did Yibum in a case like that, with a Tzoras Erva, Bishilo would say, we have to hold that your children are Mamzerim. On the other hand, the flip side is not true. If you follow Bishilo and you say that this woman does not need Chalitza or Yibum at all, where Bishamai holds she does, if she goes and marries without Chalitza, which is only an Isur Lav, then Bishamai is going to agree the child is not a Mamzer. So how can you say that Rabbi Lozer holds like Rabbi Akiva that the child is a mamzer? We see that in that case of the tzaras erva, it's not a mamzer because there's no chiyuv koris. Well, by the same thing, by an eved or a goy, also there's no chiyuv koris. It's also for an eved to have relations with a Bas Yisrael. It's also for a goy. It's also for a Jewish woman to have relations with an eved with an eved or a goy. But there's no isur koris involved. So Rabbi Lozer is saying that both Bishamah and Bishilul agree. There's no mamzerus in that case. So how can you say he holds like Rabbi Akiva that have Vlad mamzer? So Eloki also Rovin Amar of Chiva Abba Amar of Yechanan Va'amila Amar of Abba Zavda Amar of Chaminah Va'amila Amar of Yaakov Ba'idi Amar of Shuvan Levi. So three different opinions who it is that originally said this. Anyway, Sholosh Machlokas B'Davar. Really, what it is you have three different opinions among the Chachamim what the status of the Kusim is. Rabbi Shmuel Sava Kusim Gevei Arayasim. So Rabbi Shmuel holds not only are the chusim geiri arayis, that they're not considered legitimate gerim in the first place, but also, now we know there were kohenim mixed in among them, because the pasuk says, after, so what happened? The chusim were brought to Eretz Yisrael, they're worshipping idols, they got attacked by lions, they send a message to Sancheiriv, we need to know what to do in this country, because obviously Hashem is angry at us. So Sancheiriv orders that one of the kohenim, that one or some of the kohenim who were taken into Golus from the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim, should be brought back there and start teaching the chusim. Who were these kohenim in the first place? So they eventually intermingled among the Kosim. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kohenim who were mixed in among them, Kohenim Psulim, are you? They were Kohenim who were Pasul in the first place. So Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayasu, after the Kosim learned about Hashem, so now the Pasuk says they were worshipping Hashem, and Lahavdol, they were also worshipping Abed Azara, Vayasu Lahem the Soisam Kohenim Bomos, they made from a monk Soisam, they made Kohenim for the Bomos, where they're going to be bringing their Korbanos. So what does Soisam mean? It means they took from among like the Soisam, like thorns, from the Psulim among the people. Or Rashi brings a second explanation. One is Meloshim Koitz, like a thorn. The other one, Muktzin Hein, the ones who were separated from the people and apostle. Whatever the case, Meshum Hachi Paslinu. So therefore, so because of that, because they're Geri Arayis, and therefore, and since the Kohenim among them are themselves Psulim, then Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that therefore we say that because of that they're also Lava B'Kahal. And there are two ways of understanding what we mean by Psulei Kohenim. Do we mean that they were Chalolim or whatnot, or do we mean that they were actually Psulei Kohal, that they were actually Mamzerim or whatever who came from families of Kohenim? So that's the first opinion. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Sava Kusim Geri Emesin. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds the Kusim of Geri Emes, the Kohenim Shinikman Ran, Kohen Kshenim Ahoyu. He holds also that the Kohenim were mixed in among them, were actually Kosher Kohenim. The same Pasuk, Shinem of Ayasu Lahem Soysam Kohenim Bamas, Va'amar Rabba Machon Amar Rabbi Echanan. The words mixed Soysam can, on the other hand, mean from the distinguished one, Menab Chirim Shavam, from the chosen one among the people, because the word mixed Sois can, the word Kotze basically means an end, so it can mean the lower end or it can mean the upper end. So it can mean that. The element named Ma Osrum. So therefore, why did the Chachamim say that Kusim are also to marry into the Jewish people? What's the problem? Then they themselves are Gerim. The Kohenim among them are Kosher Kohenim. What's the problem? Because they would say that only an Arusa whose husband died needs Yibum, a Nesua, if a woman is already fully married, they would say she's Potter from Chalitza. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, look, that makes the children of such things mamzerim. If a woman, if Shemeres Yavam goes and marries without Yibum or Chalitza, then you have an Isulav. Rabbi Akiva, again, as we've said all this time, holds that an Isulav produces a mamzer. Therefore, he's going to say that the children of such things are mamzerim.
They're saying that because her husband dies, so she's free.
So wait, so they're going to say like this, my Darshi, how did the Kusim come up with such an idea? Because the Pasuk says, Loisia Eishas HaMesa Chutzal Ishzor, the Pasuk says, the wife of the Nes should not go out to become married to an Ishzor. So they thought that meant, when it says the word hachutza loisiel ishzar, only when she's still chutza, when she's still outside the full marriage, namely she's only an arusa, then the pasuk is saying she can't be the ishzar. So they took the word hachutza to mean that it distinguishes between an arusa and an asua. Aval hachta layas v'chutza tiel ishzar. So if she's not living outside, if she's already living in the house with her husband, then she's able to be a tiel ishzar. So they misunderstood the pasuk that way, and therefore the result was you would have a woman who's lahalocha shemeres yavam, but they don't consider that, and therefore they say that she can marry freely. It's an isulav, and Rabbi Akiva is going to say that the result of an isulav is mamzer. Rabbi Akiva l'taimei yomer yesh mamzer mechay delav. So therefore, so he's saying very much the opposite of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is saying the problem is that the Kusim themselves are Goyim, and that the Kohenim who are mixed in among them are Psulim, whether we understand them to be Chalolim or actual Mamzerim or whatever. So therefore, you have the problem, therefore you can't intermarry with them. Rabbi Akiva is saying no. In principle, the Kusim are Geira Emes. In principle, there should be no problem marrying them. The problem is this incorrect drosha that they did, regarding the Shemeres Yavam. Now, if Rabbi Akiva weren't to hold that Yesh Mamza Mechayiv Elavin, it'd still be no problem. Fine. A Shemeres Yavam married somebody else when she wasn't supposed to. The child at best you could say is Pogrom. He wouldn't be an actual Mamzer. There'd still be no problem marrying. But because Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Mamza Mechayiv Elavin, he says that results that therefore a Jew can't marry a pussy.
Look like Rabbi Akiva.
The halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. There's no mamzer from Chayv Elavin. Eventually, again, Kusim were decided to be goyim. What we're dealing with is the various reasons why that all of them agree with the halacha that a Jew can't marry a Kusi. We're figuring out why it is. Rabbi Lazar, at the beginning of the sugya over here, it said that a Kusi can't marry a Kusis either, and we have to figure out why that is. So far, we haven't gotten, according to this way of looking at it, we haven't gotten to Rabbi Lazar's opinion yet. So we'll continue. We'll continue on Motzei Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue explaining Rabbi Lazar's opinion. Why would he say? So we said there are three different opinions over here. We have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and then we have to still deal with Rabbi Lazar's opinion. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying that they're all goyim. Rabbi Akiva is saying they are Jews, but they have Chayv Elav, they have people born from Chayv Elavin who are Mamzeira mixed in among them. And then we'll continue on Matzah Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll deal with why Rabbi Lazar doesn't agree with either of those opinions, but why would he say then that, a Kusi is not allowed to marry a Kusis? So we'll continue with that.
This also was also different periods. There were more from, there were good.
So that's, we're going to learn actually tomorrow. We're going to learn that Rabbi Lazar was going to say that we're going to learn different opinions that say that when the Kusim did keep a mitzvah, they kept it even more scrupulously, even more carefully than Jews did. We're going to deal with that point tomorrow. That's a shame. But nevertheless, the point is that we're still going to say there are certain areas of mitzvahs that they're not particular with because they don't hold of them or whatever. Basically, they held only of Torah Shebichsav, similar to the Tzedukim. But even within Teresh B'Chsav itself, they had different variations. So that's what we'll continue dealing with that. And then once we go through that, then we'll explain why Rabbi Lazar would say that a Kusi can't marry a Kusis. In other words, it comes out, according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, on the face of it, there's no problem for a Kusi to marry a Kusis because, look, they're all Gerei Arayis, they're all Goyim, who cares? Let them do among themselves whatever they want. According to Rabbi Akiva, you might well say, fine, a Kusi can't necessarily marry a Kusis because of this problem of that there might be that it might end up that a Mamzer, well, no, according to Rabbi Akiva also, it's a Mamzer and a Ger. It's a Mamzer and a Ger, so it's not a problem. Because according to him, the Kusim are Geri Arayas, are Geri Emes. So fine, you might have the issue we said before, that Midrabbanan, after 10 generations, maybe they can't marry a Mamzeres anymore because people think of them as regular Jews. But fine, at least in principle, though, there wouldn't necessarily be a problem with a Kusi marrying a Kusis, because at most, you're either dealing with a Mamzer marrying a Mamzer, or with a Ger marrying a Ger, or a Mamzer marrying a Ger, and all three of those are Mutter. Only Rabbi Lazar is going to say that it's also for a Kusi to marry a Kusis, and that's what will continue in the next piece of the Gemara, explaining why Rabbi Lazar said that.
In terms of Neshama, is there a program on let's say, even without talking about a Kusi or for a Ger, I mean, a Goy who marries a Jewish woman,
so you're asking,
is the Neshama of a child?
Is a Ger allowed to marry a Kusi?
Yeah.
You're asking if a Ger is allowed to marry a Kusi? I mean, that would depend. If we say the Kusim are Gerei Emes, like Rabbi Akiva, then on the face of it, there'd be no problem. Either the Kusi he's marrying is a Ger, or it's a Mamzer, and either way, there's no problem. If you say, like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Kusim are Gerei Arayis, you'd have a problem, because then you have a Ger marrying a Goyte. So that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. What's the halacha?
No, we're saying of Ger, because we're saying if a Ger were to marry a Kusi woman, then you have the problem. The Kusi woman, according to Rabbi Akiva, might be a Mamzeres, and so that's fine. A Ger can marry a Mamzeres. So that's what I'm saying. According to Rabbi Akiva, there'd be no problem. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the Kusim are Gerei Arayis, they're still considered Goyim, well, then you'd have a Jew, a Ger, marrying a Goyta, and that won't work.
Previous case, you make it more Mamzerim.
That's true, you make more Mamzerim, but that's how it is. The child of a Mamzer is a Mamzer. That's just how it is. Yeah. We did say, yes, we said the other day, the Beis Shmuel on Eben Ezra says, even though a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzer, it's not a good idea, but nevertheless, La Locha, it is Mutter. Okay.